Each year, millions of children flock to Orange County, Florida to visit Disney World. But in the background of this storybook community is a darker story. It has the highest number of juvenile arrests in the state. From June 2015 to June 2016, police arrested more young people living in Orange County than even more populated areas in Florida, like Miami-Dade County, where the population is nearly double. Nearly 64% of those incarcerated are African-American boys. WMFE's Renata Sago has completed a five-part series called Young and Arrested, exploring how the state's approach to crime may have created a cycle of rearrest and recidivism, keeping kids from finding any life outside of the criminal justice system.
When a juvenile offender is arrested, it's becoming a bit more complex because they're being arrested for more severe crimes. I'm talking armed robberies, car burglaries. So the issue here is they're being penalized for more severe crimes, and the approaches to them are a bit more severe.
Now, these offenses mean they end up in adult court, and that's the experience of Marquise McKenzie, whose story really helps us to understand what's going on in Orange County. Tell us about Marquise.
Well, the interesting thing about Marquise is that, yes, at 16, he was sent directly to prison. That's called a direct file. But in this instance, there was a prosecutor who looked at his case. He was a first-time offender, and they said, hey, he needs to be sent to adult court. In Florida, prosecutors have what's called prosecutorial discretion. So there's a chance that you might get a young man, a young woman who commits the same offense, and they are not sent to adult court, where chances are they will get a more severe penalty for what they've done. You know, eventually he went through the system. He got out early. Good behavior, ended up briefly doing a stint at a community college, and started his own company and was doing pretty well, but pretty much dealt with a series of smaller traffic offenses. And most recently, he was actually arrested for a couple of charges, resisting arrest, and also his car was parked illegally outside of a club.
For myself, I had a few run-ins, and I kind of feel like some of it was kind of my fault, but some police just don't believe that you're out here doing the right thing.
So what this shows is he's being observed because of his prison record on some level, but there's also a psychological component here, and that's really what you discovered.
That's right. It's so deep here. I mean, you have whole generations that had some sort of run-in with the law. And I actually spoke with someone who's a former public defender. Right now, he's a dean at Florida A&M University. His name is Leroy Purnell. He talks about the complexity of being labeled as a problem as a child, what that does, how that sort of ingrains in your mind that you might end up continuing to be a problem.
If you're told you're a problem long enough, and you start to believe that you're a problem long enough, you're going to need some serious psychological help to get past that. We don't really plan for that anymore. Systems don't seem to know how to deal with that.
What's striking is that your story of Jalen Cobb really makes the case that this label is as tangible in the lives of a young black man as the bars in prison themselves, right?
That's right. Jalen Cobb, I spoke with him. He's 20 years old right now. He was actually sent to residential confinement at 14 years old for an armed robbery. And his family situation was extremely complex.
My father's a drug dealer. My uncle's a drug dealer. My grandma used to sell drugs. My mama, she talked to nothing but drug dealers. That's all I really knew for a point of my life. You know what I'm saying? If I hang around a thief, sooner or later, I'm going to pick up some tendencies.
Jalen Cobb's eventual situation, though, improves, and it's a happy ending for him. But I'm wondering, tell us where he is today and what that suggests about how policymakers might change in Orange County to really deal with this recidivism rate.
Well, last time I spoke with Jalen, he was a supervisor at McDonald's. He actually recently just got a job as a supervisor at a Gap store. He talks a lot about his long-term goals. He wants to start a family. He wants to have kids. He wants to have a business. And a reason that he was able to fight a lot of his charges and not be sent to prison, he attributes to having support from a woman who's over a juvenile defense clinic at a local university here. But the reality that I hear often from folks who are in the system, I'm talking judges, I'm talking prosecutors, is the legislature, the fact that there is a disconnect often between lawmakers and the communities from which a lot of these kids emerge, a disconnect between the sort of complex family situations that they have and what happens when they come back home. I actually do have a clip from Catherine Pozzoni, who talks about what she's experienced in 8 years, 8+ years as the head of the juvenile defense clinic at Berry Law University.
The kids who are breaking into houses and stealing cars, they're not just bad kids. It's a lot more complicated than that. And the more I learn about it, the more I think, you know, we're kind of putting the judgments of middle-class white people on kids who are living in a society that most of us can't even imagine.
What was it like, Renata, for you to, in this 5-part series, just see this churning processing of people who, you know, unlike Jalen, never ended up with a face-to-face relationship with someone who could help pull them out of this cycle? What was that like?
It was completely disenchanting. I mean, because you think about kids who essentially represent a blank slate, right? You know, you have so many systemic resources in place, ideally, right? You have the school system, ideally church institutions, some sort of family institutions. So this is a public health issue. This is a social service issue. This is a law enforcement issue. And it's about seeking collaboration between all of the pieces to the puzzle.
Renata Sego's 5-part series on this subject is called Young and Arrested. She's a reporter at WMFE. Renata, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.